Hello, Tom Myers here. If you're like me and you've got a lot to say, a lot of stories to share, a lot of opinions to give, then listen up. I'm going to talk about something that's going to take your passion for podcasts to the next level. I'm talking about the 7 Million Bikes podcast course. This is the podcasting course you need. Imagine having the skills, the knowledge, and the confidence to create, produce, and grow a successful podcast. And you're not doing it alone. I'm talking about Neil Mackay, the podcast guy, founder of 7 Million Bikes Podcasts. He knows what it takes to turn your passion into a podcast that stands out. He's going to guide you through everything from podcast ideas that resonate to nailing that audio production and even editing your episodes like a pro. With 23 tutorials and over 3 hours of video content, this course is packed with practical tips, real-world examples, and everything you need to know to get started. Just $97 for a wealth of knowledge that'll set you up for podcasting success? It's a no-brainer. Think about it. Less than $100 to unleash your creativity, share your story, and potentially even turn your passion into a profitable business. People like Ian Payton, who's taken the course, launched their own podcast, and already in the top 10% of podcasts worldwide. And you could be next. The 7 Million Bikes podcast course is your ticket to podcasting greatness. Go to the link in my show notes right now and let's make your podcasting dream a reality.
Hi, I'm Aaron, the owner and producer of Oddly Funny Productions. That's Awdly Funny Productions. Bombing Run, the original comedy combat game show. It's an hour's worth of comedians clashing with their jokes. And soon to be released, Orb's Wacky World, a talk show with a twist. It'll be a mix of comedy, unusual questions, and music with Orb as the host. Oddly Funny Productions. We might be odd, but we bring the funny to you. That's Awdly Funny Productions.
Hey everyone, it's me again. If you're tired of listening to this show with all these ads in the way, go ahead and subscribe to my Patreon. In addition to listening to this show without the ads, you also get extended versions of these episodes and bonus clips as well. Doesn't cost that much. You can get plans for as low as $1 a month. You can show the love and your support. Just go to patreon.com/TomMyers, spelled M-Y-E-R-S, and subscribe and listen and enjoy today. Again, that's patreon.com/TomMyers.
Love this podcast? Support this show through the Acast supporter feature. It's up to you how much you give, and there's no regular commitment. Just hit the link in the show description to support now.
Hello, and welcome to Tom Myers versus the rest of the world. A lot's happened this week. It turns out that despite Donald Trump's lawyer's brief stating otherwise, there is a company that was willing to put up the full $464+ million bond for his appeal in the New York fraud case. They've made that public, and now New York Attorney General Letitia James may investigate to see if Trump can be penalized further. It might be difficult if only the state of New York had any evidence of a pattern of Trump lying about his finances to get more favorable loans. Trump clarified his position on abortion earlier this week. He said he's in favor of letting the states decide their laws for themselves. That's quite a change from one of his previous positions, which was what most Americans have done. Forget about and disregard his daughter, Tiffany. Arizona's Supreme Court upheld an abortion law that was written in that state in 1864. It says a lot about today's modern Republican Party that they're trying to relate to people by championing a law that was written while Black people were still considered property. The Republicans who petitioned the Arizona court must have been holdovers from the ones who looked at the Emancipation Proclamation and told Lincoln, sir, are you sure this is a good idea? There is a bright side, though. The law does say that a pregnancy can be terminated, provided the procedure is done using leeches. We had a solar eclipse this week. While it was a cool thing to witness, it was sad that during the height of the eclipse, animals like birds remain quiet, while people like Marjorie Taylor Greene didn't.
Transportation officials want the New York City Marathon to pay $750,000 for the use of the Verrazano Bridge. Considering the bridge is a way out of Staten Island, $750,000 is worth the price of leaving. The organizers could just save money by having the runners take public transportation and get mugged. If this scheme works, I'm waiting for Trump to charge the marathon to help offset his legal bills. Now, paying $750,000 is one hassle on top of others, such as the runners having to not only finish the marathon in record time, but possibly with a stab wound. To make matters worse, running a marathon is bad enough when, in the final moments, you have to pass Central Park and deal with barkers handing you flyers for a comedy show. The Oakland Athletics announced they will be playing their home games in Sacramento through 2027 before moving to Las Vegas. People in Oakland were stunned when they learned they had a baseball team. That one was just for Jeff. And speaking of Jeff, on with the show, please join me in welcoming Jeff Heisen, Polite Kitty, and Valerie Pascal.
Hey, Tom.
Hello. Hey, Tom.
So what's everyone been up to this week?
Well, Tom, I just want to make sure that you and everybody listening saw the new Biden ad that came out yesterday called Willow's Box. It was perfectly timed to Trump's playing politics with women's lives by saying, I'll just leave it to the states. So I'm not going to get involved, which nobody believes. Nobody believes. And you know that as soon as, if God forbid, he gets elected and the Republicans control the Senate and they retain control of the House, they pass a national abortion ban, you know he's going to sign. He's not going to say, well, I made a campaign promise that I was going to leave it to the states. So you know that he's lying there. But listen to and watch Willow's Box, the very powerful ad. I think we're going to be seeing and hearing a lot about abortion and Trump's statements in the coming months.
I can't wait until like if you know Trump gets reelected. That's the only hope I could see of our numbers going off as I'm broadcasting this from, you know, whatever island I'm seeking refuge with, which just happens to be the island where John Fugelsang has taken up residence, basically.
So it would be good for the podcast and good for you. You sound like one of the billionaires that showed up at his fundraiser yesterday. They don't care about anything else. It's just including, by the way, one of the billionaires that showed up was the owner of my favorite football team, Woody Johnson, owner of the New York Jets. So he was one of the, and he spoke for Trump on Fox News. So are you saying that it would be good for you? It would be good for business.
You've known me for how long, Jeff? And you really have to ask me this question. If I was a billionaire, you think I'd be doing this shit?
I actually think you might, just to piss people off.
Yeah. Point taken. You're right, Polite. I stand corrected. I'm willing to take the L on this one. This week is part two of our analysis of the media's coverage of President Joe Biden. On the previous episode, we focused on the media's culpability in portraying Biden as the exact opposite from reality. This week, we're going to focus on Republicans and their efforts to dirty Biden before the election on November 5th. While they did their best to investigate and create their own Perry Mason moment, the only entertainment value they provided was tantamount to a baseball game taking place, only to have the action stopped by an idiot running out onto the middle of the field, creating such a cringe moment that even networks like Fox cut away from the embarrassment. And joining us tonight to discuss this topic, please join me in welcoming Chris O'Connor.
Hey, you guys. Great to be here. Appreciate the invite.
Yeah, man. So, Chris, your thoughts on like everything the Republicans have been doing to try and win this one in November?
I love the Republicans, to be honest. From a pure comedy standpoint, you can't ask for more. I also I think nothing has made Biden seem more with it and together than the fact that these clowns exist as the counterpoint. I mean, it's a stunning moment in politics where you're trying to prove somebody's senile, and then you're the one who's constantly wrong. It's a beautiful thing. So I appreciate this as a fan of history, as a fan of politics. I love where we are. And I'll be honest, I don't even care if the Republicans end up being right. I'm a fan of a little bit of nasty in my president. I want my president to be a little bit naughty. I don't want another Ned Flanders, or something get in the office. I want a guy who knows how to make at least $1 million out of China. Like that's okay by me. So all they're doing is proving that he's already the dude I already like. So good enough.
So you want dark Brandon?
Listen, I mean, I feel like every time we've tried to clean it up and go nice, we've been way off base. We end
Right.
up worse than we were. I want a guy who knows kind of how the world works, and I don't need a Bush Jr. I'll take Bush Senior. He was running guns in Nicaragua, from what I was guessing. Like that dude knows how the world works. Give me that guy. I don't need a guy who's gonna be nice. I want a guy who knows what's up.
I mean, Bush Senior was, I think he's more stable now than the current
Oh
guy.
my God. Don't you look back and go, oh my God, this is at least semi-bearable compared to the clown show that's happening now.
But I found it shocking that, and well, I don't know about shocking, but I found it interesting that George Bush, the Bush Senior of all people, voted for Hillary Clinton in 2016, the wife of the guy who defeated him for a second term in 92. So it's, I mean, I hate to say it, but like Trump is still, I mean, he's still continuing to like unify people in some sort of odd, bizarre way.
In the way that there's always going to be people that are contrary to common sense, right? I come from that land. I come from the Midwest. And I grow up with these people. I know these people. I know them well. And to the degree that you tell them that the sky's blue and they just want to argue that it's red, there's always going to be that faction of this country. And I'm actually kind of okay with it because I feel like the more to the extremes we go, we're just solidifying the polar caps, right? And leaving the common sense in the middle, which is always the swing vote. And the swing vote typically goes Democratic anyway, and in most elections. And so I kind of like the way this is playing out. You're seeing the polls start to tilt towards Biden now again. You're seeing the approval rates start to go up again. These are things that typically happen, as you go from April into October. I feel like this is a pretty solid footing for Biden, honestly.
Normal politics means that I have to resort to going back to doing stand-up, where I have to rag on people at the bar who are watching the game on the TVs that the bookers didn't turn off. So bring it on. Like in the famous meme, "How It Started Versus How It's Going," the House Republicans' plan to nail Biden to the wall for various crimes without any evidence falls apart when, despite the buildup by Oversight Committee Chair James Comer, his own party's witnesses give an embarrassing rebuke of his investigation, excerpts of which we get here.
For years, President Biden has lied to the American people about his knowledge of and participation in his family's corrupt business schemes.
Republicans handpicked three witnesses for this hearing, while Democrats selected one witness. But the testimony from those star witnesses, their own witnesses, did not support those Republican allegations.
I do not believe that the current evidence would support articles of impeachment. That is something that an inquiry has to establish.
I am not here today to even suggest that there was corruption, fraud, or any wrongdoing. In my opinion, more information needs to be gathered and assessed before I would make such an assessment.
It would have been great if in the background you heard tires screeching because that's a Republican staffer who knows he's going to get shit canned just trying to make a getaway right now.
If you can't convince Jonathan Turley, who was once a great attorney and speaker for good things, who's now a Trump apologist, if you can't get him on your side, then you have no case.
I mean, I do want to ask you, Jeff, how is it that lawyers can go from just being reputable to all of a sudden just switching to something very unsavory.
A good lawyer can argue any side of a case.
Yeah,
And an attorney who has no principles will do it for money. So that could be his job. Sometimes you represent plaintiffs, sometimes you represent defendants. You can go from being a public defender to being a prosecutor. Something went on with Turley because he, over the past 20 years, did a complete 360.
And yeah, because this isn't just like someone representing someone accused of a crime versus someone prosecuting that person. This is a full on. Let's turn our heads and enable fascism.
Well, he didn't think that the articles of impeachment against then President Trump were sufficient. So there was no way he was going to find this, which had no evidence, to be sufficient. And it's like they didn't talk to their witnesses. It's like they just called them up. You got a few minutes?
That is how I booked this podcast, to be fair. So that's...
I mean, Jeff, doesn't a portion of this come down to, I mean, have we adequately defined constitutionally high crimes and misdemeanors? It seems like we went for, 200 years, not impeaching anybody with the exception of Andrew Johnson, to now we impeach everybody because we don't like the sandwich they ordered at lunch. And it just feels like it's becoming a lot, right? It feels like we need to maybe step back and put some law and order around this, literally, and say, can we get some definitions going here and have a standard to which we can all agree with? We're just impeaching willy-nilly now.
It does seem like for a party that likes to bang on about participation trophies, that they sure are asking for equality in the strangest places. It's like, well, he got an impeachment, so now we get to impeach.
I would argue this is a bipartisan problem, and I would agree. I think I am tired of this impeachment business all the way around universally. I'm sick of it, and I feel like anytime somebody doesn't get what they want, they now throw the other person under the bus, and it's just, this is when it devolves into children being children, you know, or these moments. And I just feel like we need to step back a little bit. But Joe, I'd love to know from a legal standpoint what you think about it.
No, you're right, because it's so vague that they have the impeachment, they by one vote of Secretary Mayorkas, and they can't even bring it to the Senate because they know that the Dems are going to get rid of it. So the Republicans think it's better to have it hanging out there,
right,
and rather than have it be dismissed faster than you can pick up your order at Taco Bell.
I mean, my hope is that enough younger people make it into Congress and that impeachment becomes like Facebook. It's like, oh, I don't want to do that. My dad is just on impeachment.
Not to be outdone by their own witnesses, House Republicans like Nancy Mace are ready to come to the forefront of acting fucking stupid for the sole purpose of appeasing Trump and his supporters in this facepalm-worthy one-way exchange with Hunter Biden.
It does not matter who you are, where you come from, or who your father is, or your last name. Yes, I'm looking at you, Hunter Biden, as I'm speaking to you. You are not above the law at all. The facts in this case are crystal clear. This committee used and issued a lawful subpoena to Hunter Biden, a critical witness in this committee's investigation into Biden family corruption. Hunter Biden and his lawyers did not claim privilege of any kind because clearly he has none. They didn't contest the legitimacy of our reasons for issuing the subpoena, no reasons, because they clearly are legitimate. And yet he refused to comply. Trump's family members, Don Trump Jr., he did not defy a congressional subpoena. He showed up multiple times for multiple depositions for several hours. In doing so, you know, Hunter Biden broke the law. He did so deliberately. You did so flagrantly. You showed up on the Hill, on the Senate side, the day of that congressional subpoena to defy it and spit in the face of this committee. That's what you did. The question the American people are asking us is, What is Hunter Biden so afraid of? Why can't you show up for a congressional deposition? You're here for a political stunt. This is just a PR stunt to you. This is just a game that you are playing with the American people. You're playing with the truth. Hunter Biden wasn't afraid to sell access to Joe Biden to the highest bidder when he was in elected office. He wasn't afraid to trade on the Biden brand, peddle influence, and share those ill-gotten gains with members of his family, including Joe Biden. He wasn't afraid to compromise the integrity of the presidency and vice presidency by involving Joe Biden's shady business deals with our foreign adversaries. But Hunter Biden, you were too afraid to show up for a deposition. And you still can't today.
You still can't show up for a deposition today, she says to a guy who is in the room. And like, and also, you can't show up, you're here. Like, if you could boil people like Nancy Mace down to a single sentence, that would be it.
He was in the room. And Trump Jr. showed up for several hours. What else was he doing?
Signing fraudulent documents in New York, apparently.
Divorced.
Oh my God, I would just hate to see her Hinge profile. I like hiking and pushing my date off the cliff. I mean, she just seems horrible. You know, she's everybody who gave me detention or asked me for an overdue library book. She's just a strident human being. She's unpleasant. Even if she had a shred of sense to what she's saying, the way she's saying it, I can't handle it. But no, I mean, it heightens the absurdity. He's in the room. She's talking to him about like he's not in the room. Like, where are you? I don't know. It is a crazy world.
I know, even Hunter looked genuinely confused. He's like, I don't understand what's happening.
But see, that was a perfect situation for her because she could say anything and he wasn't sitting in front of her in a position to respond.
Right.
He was sitting back there. So there was no way for him to go, what? WTF? What are you talking about?
The few redeeming factors of the Republican Party have either already left Congress or are getting ready to leave, those being Liz Cheney, Mitt Romney, Joe Manchin, and Kyrsten Sinema. Now we can add now former Colorado Congressman Ken Buck to the list. In a sign showing how doomed the Republican Party is, one of the Republicans now vying for his seat in November is Lauren Boebert. No word on how many theaters have preemptively banned her and her dates in her new district. In this clip, Ken Buck gives his honest assessment of the nothing burger that his colleagues in the House present.
2 days ago, you said that the time for impeachment is when there's evidence linking President Biden to a high crime or misdemeanor. You said, quote, that doesn't exist right now. Do you still feel that way tonight?
I have not seen any evidence that links President Biden to Hunter Biden's activities at this point. I will be getting a briefing later in the week. I'm looking forward to understanding more of what the Oversight Committee has uncovered. But at this point, I have not seen that evidence. He doesn't have the votes, Republican votes, to pass a resolution to open an impeachment inquiry. They have been trying to get those votes. I don't believe they have the votes.
And he's gone from Congress. I mean, even... Like what Polite said earlier, like you have the need to speak common sense to people who have it. They're now one down.
Yeah, the further we go into this, and the more moderates moderate term is loose when you're defining the Republican Party, right? It's just crazy versus less crazy. You know, so the more the less crazies tend to drop out. In a strange way, I do believe this will be what really helps the Democrats come November, right? I would love to see, in a strange way, nothing more than for Marjorie Taylor Greene to win and get some Yahoo put in a speaker who just is a total train wreck. Like, I don't think Mike Johnson's clearly anything to write home about, but imagine her pick. You know, at some point, you just kind of let the kids run the room for a second just to show them what happens when you do. You know, and I think that would turn off the rest of the country. If there's a need to still turn off the rest of the country, that would be the ticket.
Yeah, Chris, I can't agree with you there because I feel like we've been doing that. Like, we let a kid into the highest office in the country. And what happened was a hot mess. Like, do you want the list of the hot mess that happens and that we're still trying to put them in charge?
But Val, routines are comforting. Come on.
the most toxic, abusive relationship ever. Yeah. Oh, I'm so sorry. My bad. It's okay for me to sleep in until 3 p.m. every day.
We all know the objective in the Biden impeachment inquiry is to make Trump look good. Given that is damn near impossible, Republicans have a hard time hiding their true agenda and the real reason for keeping an impeachment inquiry going as if it were a Boeing jet. While Kevin McCarthy let it slip in 2015 that the Benghazi investigation was made to make Hillary Clinton look bad in the 2016 election, today's Republicans are not so verbose, as we can see in this phone footage from Texas Congressman Troy Nehls.
Representatives, what are you hoping to gain from an impeachment inquiry?
All I can see is Donald J. Trump 2024, baby.
I mean, they're saying the quiet part out loud, basically, at this point. Maybe they've been slowly doing that over time, but now it's just come down to just a few words endorsing their guy and then just walking off.
Well, that goes to what Chris was saying. He was impeached too. So that's what they're trying to get at. They're trying to get the headlines, or as Polite said before, hashtag impeachment.
Yeah, it's just trendy. That's all. I mean, he's just walking around. It's like asking him, you know, what do you think about the inquiries? Cheddar cheese. You know, I mean, it's, again, nonsensical response.
That is funny. Like at some point, impeachment is going to be threads. Everybody jumps on it and then it goes nowhere. You know, it's like we're all bored with it in 2 days. It's exactly where we are.
If you think the entire right-wing media sphere can keep the ginned up Biden is crooked narrative going, then you would thankfully be wrong. In this clip, Fox host Jesse Waters is taken to task when someone close calls in to respond to his commentary.
We have a very special guest on the line, a Democrat, my mom. Mom? Hello there, Mom. How have you enjoyed the show so far?
I have enjoyed the show. I want to say congratulations, Honey Bun. We are so proud of you and your accomplishments, and you've worked so hard. Now let's aim to have you keep your job. And to that end, I do have some suggestions.
Okay.
Do not tumble into any conspiracy rabbit holes. We do not want to lose you, and we want no lawsuits.
Keeping,
I have a list here. In keeping with the Hippocratic Oath, do no harm. We need you to be kind and respectful. Okay. You yourself mentioned that humble is a stretch, so I get that. Use your voice responsibly to promote conversation that maintains a narrative thread. There really has been enough Biden bashing, and the laptop is old. Perhaps you could suggest that your people take less interest, for example, in other people's bodies, and talk about that.
What do you want to bet she's in a home now?
Wow.
I think he gets the latter day of the whoever's left feeling like they're still in a frat at 45. Like, that's his audience. You know, he just looks like a Sigma Chi guy who, you know, was hazing somebody the wrong way. Deserves to get beat up at recess. He's that kid.
And then between being called like Honey Bun, chastising him and saying, oh, no, I've got a list. Like, I could just visualize his balls shrinking slowly and slowly until they just retreat behind his kidneys. Maybe they'll pop out during spring break 2 years from now. But aside from that, that's their permanent residence.
I think she was just having the moment of, okay, this talk didn't work in high school. It didn't work in college. Let's try public embarrassment.
Yep. There's a junior producer somewhere who just got fired over that segment for sure. For sure. It'll be so cute to have your mom on. No, it will not.
It'll be so cute to have your mom come to your comedy show.
Mom, you're embarrassing me in front of my audience. Right. All the old people watching me.
I guess Bobart can say that to her grandkids, right? I'm an embarrassment on TV.
Yeah. And on that note, that's our show. I want to thank Jeff Heisen, Polite Kitty, Valerie Pascal, and Chris O'Connor.
Thank you, guys.
But before we go, my final thought. And the third installment of our new series, Are You Better Off Now Than 4 Years Ago? Spoiler alert, the answer to these is always going to be yes. What was happening 4 years ago today, the day this episode is scheduled to drop, April 11th? According to numbers provided by Johns Hopkins, the virus had infected 1.7 million people and killed more than 107,000 people worldwide. The United States had logged 500,000 cases and had the highest COVID-19 death toll of any other country in the world. New York State itself had more cases than any other country, per official figures. In Washington, D.C., on this day, 97 new cases were reported, along with 3 deaths, bringing the total number of infections in the district to 1,875 and the death toll to 50. Remember, this was after then President Trump had said the number of cases would go from 15 to 0. Meanwhile, Dr. Anthony Fauci announced that antibody tests, which would show who already had the coronavirus, would be available soon. In Canada 4 years ago today, the Parliament was in emergency talks to pass a measure making sure businesses got paid for keeping their employees on staff during a time when high unemployment would be a given. Meanwhile, the price of fuel was slowly starting to rebound after a record crash in the price, which occurred in March of 2020, according to the website GasBuddy.com. Remember, at the time, less fuel was being consumed because nobody was going anywhere because we were just going under lockdown for a contagious and severe respiratory virus. In short, are we better off today than we were 4 years ago? In case you need to be reminded, which a lot of people do, then the answer is yes. Good night. This episode was written and hosted by Tom Myers with panelists Jeff Heisen, Polite Kitty, and Valerie Pascal, and guest Chris O'Connor. Theme music composed and arranged by Jeroen Vandenberg. Executive producers Tom Myers, Matt Connerton for IPM Nation, and Eddie Carson for Odyssey Radio. Please leave a 5-star rating and a positive review on Apple Podcasts. And don't forget to subscribe to our podcast's Patreon for ad-free episodes, extended episodes, and bonus clips. Thank you for listening, and please visit tommyers.us. Hey everyone, thanks for listening. If you want to listen to more of this episode, go ahead and subscribe to my Patreon. There you can get extended versions of episodes like this one, as well as bonus clips. You can even listen to regular episodes without all these pesky little ads through which you have to fast forward. Doesn't really cost that much. Plans as low as $1 a month. Go to patreon.com/TomMyers, spelled M-Y-E-R-S. Show the love, subscribe, show your support today. That's patreon.com/TomMyers.
Hi everyone. I'm Orb. I am not the official spokesperson for Oddly Funny Productions. That's A-W-D-L-Y, Funny Productions. Aaron is tied up right now. Shut up, I'll untie you in a minute. Here at Oddly, we're producing some great shows. Bombing Run, where comedians compete to see whose joke erase. And Orb's Wacky World, a talk show with a mix of comedy, uncomfortable questions, and music, hosted by yours truly. When you think of comedy, think of Oddly Funny Productions. That's A-W-D-L-Y, Funny Productions. Now, how do I get out of here?
Love this podcast? Support this show through the Acast supporter feature. It's up to you how much you give, and there's no regular commitment. Just click the link in the show description to support now.